This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Public companies are facing more pressure to diversify their boards.
So they are hearing this from where they are listed. They're hearing it in some cases from where they are headquartered. They're hearing it from their institutional investors that have a ton of power. And frankly, I think from many in society at large.
But are they rising to the occasion? And strong earnings reports continue to drive up stocks. Plus, what happens on the car lot when there are almost no cars to sell? It's Tuesday, October 19th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Procter & Gamble is raising prices on a range of household items, including some beauty, oral care, and grooming products, as the costs of freight and raw materials continue to rise. The company has already boosted prices on staples from diapers to toilet paper. But P&G executives said they've been able to keep products in stock by enlisting backup suppliers, changing shipping routes, reformulating products, and sometimes even limiting how much retailers can buy to avoid stockpiling. P&G says despite higher costs, it expects solid sales and growth over the next 9 months. Johnson & Johnson reported an 11% increase in revenue year over year in the latest quarter to more than $23 billion. The company saw growth in medical device sales and pharmaceuticals as more people scheduled doctor's visits and procedures that the pandemic had disrupted. Sales of J&J's COVID-19 vaccine were lower than expected. The first Bitcoin futures ETF made its debut on the New York Stock Exchange today. ProShares Bitcoin Strategy closed up nearly 5% at close to $42 a share. The ETF holds Bitcoin futures contracts rather than the cryptocurrency itself. And unlike Bitcoin, it can be traded on regulated venues. Wall Street Journal markets reporter Mike Wursthorn says there's still some risks associated with investing in a crypto ETF.
So there's the volatility that investors in this ETF would face, just like they probably would with Bitcoin itself. Both futures and the asset can be volatile. Besides that, investors have to also consider the fact that these ETFs have added trading costs that can cause the performance between the two assets to diverge even further. So investors who expect Bitcoin-like performance in a Bitcoin futures ETF are going to be disappointed. They're two separate asset classes, and they will trade independent of each other, causing that differing performance.
In the broader market, all three major U.S. indexes rose on those strong earnings reports. The Dow gained nearly 200 points, closing the day up more than 0.5%. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ each closed up 0.7%. Netflix, reporting earnings just after the bell, said it added 4.4 million subscribers in the third quarter, more than the company had expected. The streaming service saw a boost from the success of Squid Game, the South Korean dystopian drama that's become a global phenomenon. The new additions bring Netflix's total paid global subscriber base to over 213 million. And Facebook has agreed to pay more than $14 million as part of settlements with the U.S. government. The social media giant was accused of illegally reserving lucrative jobs for immigrant workers it was sponsoring for permanent residences instead of searching for and considering U.S. workers. The Justice Department alleged that Facebook didn't advertise the positions on its website and accepted only mail-in applications. Under the settlement, the company will also have to change those hiring practices. Facebook did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Coming up, many public companies promise to diversify their executive ranks. Are they making progress?
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
In the past few years, many companies across industries have pledged to diversify their executive ranks. So, how are they doing? According to two new studies, better. The newest class of corporate directors at U.S. public companies is the most diverse yet, with a surge of Black nominees and more women joining S&P 500 boardrooms. But those gains have been uneven, and there's still a long way to go. Joining me now with more on a Wall Street Journal exclusive is business reporter Emily Glazer. Hi, Emily. Thanks for being here.
Happy to do it.
So, Emily, can you start by telling us more about these two studies and broadly what the data from them shows us about diversity on corporate boards right now?
Well, what we're seeing is that corporate boards are diversifying more than ever. So the most recent slate of new directors in the last year had a surge of Black nominees and also elevated numbers of women and first-time directors, which is a trend that we're seeing. Boards are no longer just going to the same candidates over and over again, which tend to have been older white men.
But there was still some unevenness here in the results, right?
Indeed, we're seeing that mid-cap companies are lagging quite a bit behind larger public companies. There are a couple reasons for that when we talk to experts. Mid-cap companies have smaller boards, they often have fewer committees, and frankly, the spotlight isn't on them as much as large public companies. So they're not diversifying quite as fast. And this is from data from the Conference Board and the executive and board recruiting firm Spencer Stuart. Spencer Stuart found that a third of new independent board members for S&P 500 companies identifying director demographics were Black. That's up from 11% the year before. That's quite a big change. 7% were Latino, up from 3%. So that's more than doubled. And we're seeing that there are a lot of newer board members, too, first-time directors.
Can you tell us some more about which companies are making the greatest strides right now and how they're doing it?
It's really the larger public companies, and they've got a lot of pressure. A lot of their largest institutional investors have said, we will not vote to approve your slate of board directors unless you diversify. We're seeing California legislation also requiring companies that are headquartered in the state to have at least one female board director, or they face financial penalties. This winter, California companies must meet the requirements for racial and ethnic minorities or people who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender on boards or face fines. There's also a major proposal in NASDAQ that the SEC recently approved, which requires that companies explain if they fall short of gender and ethnicity diversity targets for their boards. So they are hearing this from where they are listed. They're hearing it in some cases from where they are headquartered. They're hearing it from their institutional investors that have a ton of power. And frankly, I think from many in society at large. I will add, there are some lawsuits pushing back on these requirements, saying they unfairly discriminate against white men. So there is a lot going on in this space right now.
Emily, can you tell us a bit more about outreach and some of the steps companies are now taking to get a diverse pool of candidates, as opposed to maybe waiting for some of those job applicants to come directly to them? Are they doing more outreach in that way?
Many companies are, and I think that the way directors are recruited have changed dramatically. What used to happen in the past is that board members or the CEO would go to people they knew and get recommendations from each other. And that's often why it would stay within the same circle in the same area. Because there's so much pressure from different stakeholders, the investors, regulatory requirements, employees themselves, and elsewhere, we're seeing a lot of independent executive search groups pop up that specifically focus on diversifying boards. The Monarchs Collective is one, co-founded by Deborah Lee, who serves on a number of big company boards. Take Your Seat is another one that focuses specifically on a network of Black candidates that could join boards. The law firm Perkins Coie, this is a national law firm, launched an initiative in June to boost the number of Black directors that's backed by large companies like Starbucks, Microsoft, and Amazon. And so these efforts are all expanding the universe of people who are tapped for board roles. They often work with the large recruiters like the Spencer Stewarts, Korn Ferries, Heidrick & Struggles, Egon Zenders of the world, but they also add to the network of who's even being looked at for these roles. What I heard from a number of board members, some of whom are diverse and some of whom aren't, acknowledge that they often would just keep reaching out to the same diverse candidates who already were on boards and were known experts and known in the field, which I think companies would view that as a safer type of candidate because they know they're already on the board. They already know they have the experience. They wouldn't be surprised about what it's like. And the big push happening right now and what we saw from this data is that there are far more first-time directors and also more directors that have a number of different types of roles. They're not just looking for a CEO. They're only looking for CEOs. That's still majority white men. And so now we're seeing a lot more people who run major business units. We're seeing folks that lead other types of companies that are not just CEOs in that name. And that's where some of these networks that have been popping up that have all these other candidates with experiences that qualify them to join boards, whether that is an expert in digital, an expert in cybersecurity, running a major P&L of a company. And those are folks that are often women and diverse that perhaps were overlooked in the past.
That's Wall Street Journal business reporter Emily Glazer. Emily, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And finally, as we've reported, the global chip shortage has left auto dealerships with fewer cars to sell. And that's leaving salespeople with less to do on the lot. While dealerships laid off thousands at the start of the pandemic, for those who have stayed, the job has been completely transformed. Here's our careers reporter, Patrick Thomas.
It's more of getting on the phone. It's talking it through with customers about, look, we don't have the car that you want. We just don't have it. It's not going to be here for another 6 to 8 weeks because the manufacturers can't get it. It's less haggling. A lot of it is online maintenance. You even see some salespeople delivering cars to people's houses that don't want to come out to the dealership as the process moves online. It's just very different than what we're all accustomed to seeing.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.